Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the big program, 803-0930. If you're a parent or a student, want to talk about the plans coming up for the school year. How much is this changing your thought process? I did the school supply shopping this weekend. That was fun. You know, it's shocking to me that in a period of 24 hours, you know, depending, the governor makes his decision, the school districts are now under the gun. This morning on the morning show, we heard from a couple people that had points of view. We want to just set up the calls coming in, though. 644-9875, if you're in education or a teacher, daycare center worker, but you want to give that point of view, 803-0930, for the parents and for the students. You know, colleges also have a tremendous amount they have to deal with. Young people, you know, it's one thing to get people squared away, you know, when it comes to the high school year and the guidance that they're under in a public school, as opposed to the freedom that you're given as a freshman in college. You know, are the problems as bad in high school, or what this comes down to, if we're to believe the media reports, this is college age kids that were going out to bars, not the protests. There was no transmission of anything at the protests. They were completely inoculated. But it was the bars and the beaches and the congregating that started this second wave. Mike Baggerman had a story about daycare, and here it is.
School is back, but
that doesn't mean that the children will be going back 5 days a week.
That's Sherry Phillips, who heads A Leap in Learning, a child care center in Hamburg and Orchard Park. They're able to accommodate some families, but not all.
We have been reduced by OCFS and Albany to the number of children that we can accept into our programs and into a classroom.
Parents of young children may be in for some long days this fall, which is why she hopes that they can help.
We need to reevaluate and restructure what we're doing with our school-age children so that we can help these parents by assisting them with the virtual learning.
Now, some parents may have been caught by surprise by the news on Friday that schools will be reopening, and they're now scrambling to find daycare. Kim Suminski of the Child Care Resource Network said they'll help those families coordinate child care, but there are important questions for all parents to ask.
What is it going to look like within a provider's care when, you know, instruction is happening the day before and then assignments are due the following day?
School districts have also partnered with national before and after school programs to help ease the burden. Mike Baggerman, WBEN.com News.
I mean, there's a lot of that story. I mean, the first thing is you have parents that have regular daycare needs. Now the kids are going back to school and things are happening for them going back to work. But then you have the problem of the state coming in and saying, you know, you've got to reduce the amount of kids you have in daycare. Now schools, different school districts are going to make decisions. And those school districts may make decisions that are saying, we're going to go 3 days in school. School classes in person 3 days a week. So now 2 days, a parent that never had to think about daycare has to make that decision. And these daycare centers, they only have a limited amount of people. Parents, there's a lot of scrambling going on in Western New York, depending on what the school districts decide to do. It's a pretty rough situation to be in. We spoke to Dr. Richard Hughes, who was talking about Frontier High School, and here's what he had to say.
We started mobile telemedicine about a year and a half ago, and that partnership foreseeing.
That's the wrong audio. I'll get you the guy that was from the high school. But anyway, we'll go to the phones. Who do I? Well, that call dried up. 803-0930. Parents, students, 644-9875 if you're in daycare or education. One of the things that we wanted to bring up was the idea that the colleges have a completely different set of hurdles that they have to go through that's different than the high school. These freshmen, you're thinking, you know, this is your first great adventure. You're moving away from home. Even if it's University of Buffalo, it's away from home. And you've got all these different things you hope your young people are ready for. Temptation and self-discipline and self-control. But then there's, you know, you've worked hard to get to this level of your life. You want to have some fun. You want to go out there and talk to your friends and do whatever. That is impossible to control because these are young adults that are out there going through school, doing what they're going to do. The COVID bumps at the universities compared to the high schools. Everyone has seen the video of that Georgia high school. There are already schools in the South that have gone back to school. And they're showing this video on CNN and MSNBC of just these kids congregated in a hallway. Maybe four of them are wearing masks and they're just walking around and they're saying, see, nobody is social distancing. No, and these are older kids. It's a high school. Well, what do we do in a daycare center? There was a woman that was talking with Mike Baggerman that was talking about how important it is to not wear a mask when you're trying to teach young, you know, pre-K kids speech and all the different things that kids pick up from our faces and how a mask can impede that. But teachers are now getting ready to go into what normally is. Now, listen, a normal year, a teacher is exposed to viruses and bacteria that not a whole lot of people in the workplace are exposed to. I mean, those schools are like little petri dishes. If you have a kid that has gone to school, you know that there is a time of the year where they come home and they've got crud in their lungs and they've got a cough and a runny nose. And it's almost impossible for the lessons to be taught at age 5 and 6 to always cough the perfect way or always wash your hands after you sneeze. Those teachers are exposed to all that all the time. Now, with the COVID side of this, it's pretty alarming. They're now having to make concessions and risks that they never probably thought having to do before. 644-9875 is the teacher education line. 803-0930 is for students and parents. Again, we wanted to break it up because it's a pretty complicated issue and there's different perspectives. Let's go to the teacher side and talk to Christina in Amherst. Christina, you're a teacher. What do you have to say?
Well, first of all, David, congratulations on the show.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations on your Medal of Honor, and thank you so much for your service.
That's very kind, Christina. Thanks.
I am a teacher. I work at a local high school, and I am ready to go back. I'm one of my few colleagues who feels that we need to go back. We need to try to go back. But I definitely think it's time, and we just have to give it a try.
So what are the things that you're, I mean, obviously there's what you said of we all need to go back. There's so many reasons why that's true, but we still have people that are getting infected. We still have states that are seeing, you know, incredible bumps and rises. What is the problem that you're seeing of the folks that believe that we shouldn't go back? What is their number one complaint?
Well, they're scared and they're worried. They don't want to get sick. And hey, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to bring sickness home to my husband and my children, but who's to say I'm going to? So I think that fear is really getting in the way here. And last I knew, we don't live a risk-free life. We take risks every single day in life. And yesterday when I was in Wegmans, and I generally don't go to Wegmans because it's just whatever, but anyways, I went to Wegmans yesterday. And I've got my mask on, and there were hundreds of people in Wegmans touching produce in the line, picking up cereal boxes, putting them back. And I'm thinking to myself, if Wegmans could do this, my high school can do this. And nobody seems to be really batting an eye to go to Wegmans or Walmart or wherever. And then the other thing that I'm noticing, because I do have children myself, teenage children, and boy, this might be controversial, but, you know, we've opened up. My kids have started to see other kids, and we're trying to do it safely. We're outside, but if you drive around anywhere, kids are getting together in massive groups. There's graduation parties going on. There's all sorts of things going on.
There's organized looting going on in Chicago. I mean, that was at least 45 people in a crowd right there.
Right, but nothing happens at a protester when you loot. So
well, there's that. But see, Christina, are you confident enough in the unnamed school district that you work at that they can do a job of mitigating this so that it's at least as safe as Walmart or, you know, the local grocery store?
I think they're going to give it their best shot, but I think then a lot of it comes down to personal responsibility as well.
Because it really is too much to ask of any, you know, janitorial staff or any school district to expect, you know, each classroom to be as clean as the American Airlines chairs.
Right. We don't know until we try. And as I was saying before, with all these graduation parties and whatnot, I wonder if getting back to school might actually slow the transmission rate. Because when kids are at these parties and hanging out at the parks, they're not wearing masks. But when they're in school, if they're masked, if they're socially distant, if they have to come home and do homework and can't run around all over the world, who knows? And I think we have to give it a try. The other thing is I do consider myself a public servant, and nothing is more essential than an education, in my opinion. So if...
You know, I think we're seeing signs of that every single day on the streets of the United States.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Nurses, people are, you know, they've put on their big boy pants, they've put on their big girl pants, they've gone out, they've done their job. Why am I so special?
Well, yeah, Christina, God bless you, and I appreciate what you do, and now more than ever. I mean, you're right at ground zero, and I'd love you to call back if you're not too busy and just give us a progress on how everything's going at your school. Thank you for calling in. That's the teacher line, 644-9875. Let's go to the parent line and talk to Marty in Kenmore. Marty, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. You know, there's a couple of different unique things I'd like to just bring up. Number one, I've heard that they want these children to wear masks in school at all times. Now, not every school is air conditioned. You have children that perspire more than others. And so what happens, as you know yourself, I'm sure you've worn plenty of different respirators, Scott-type SCBAs, as I have in my lifetime. And when you get a paper mask wet, it decreases your ability to be able to breathe correctly. So who wants a number of children sitting in class at about a 92% oxygen level? How much are they really taking in? So number one are the masks. That's a bunch of BS for these kids. They're hampering more than hurting. And I can't believe that the MDs have not, you know, just jumped in on this.
You know, I got to say, when it comes to the mask issue, Marty, I'm actually really perplexed as to why so many officials went really aggressively about the idea that anything is better than nothing. That's true. If you're in a fire and you put a bandana over your nose, that's better than nothing. But if you wanted to fight the fire, no fire department is going to issue bandanas to their firefighters. They're going to give them the proper gear so that they could all be safe and healthy in that environment. And you know from working with paint or working with pesticides or working with anything, the mask, they're not just going to tell you to take a piece of cloth and throw it on your face. So the argument was something is better than nothing, but the idea that somehow a piece of cotton is going to protect you the same way that any other mask is really disingenuous and I think unhelping in this debate.
Not only that, if you go to any business, you're not allowed to wear a nuisance mask without being fit tested, without being tested to make sure you don't have any type of asthmatic issues, respiratory issues, a cold that day. you know, anything that would reduce their ability to breathe.
Well, in the 50s, when everyone was getting ready for the bomb to be dropped on America, there were kids that had gas masks and they were going through NBC training. And, you know, school districts had those things on supply. Whether or not we want, you know, it does look, if people are upset about wearing, you know, N95s or KN95 masks or bandanas, you know, people would be horrified if you walked around with the sharper image gas mask on going to the store. I'm sure those people bring alarm too. But I guess what I'm saying is that if it's filtration and this is a real serious thing, the way that that argument was unfolded by so many people at the CDC especially, I thought was just wildly, it was nonsensical. I mean, yes, anything is better than nothing, but this doesn't mean that this piece of cloth is going to result in saving lives or killing lives.
Well, there's one other thing, if I may. Many of the teachers, and I have talked to many, and I know several, okay, and that's not my previous profession, is they're concerned about being in a classroom all day long where children are breathing, exchanging. So why aren't they looking into positive or negative pressure in these rooms to exchange fresh air?
You know what? There are some school systems that can't even get their boiler to work. I mean, you know, you want to talk about infrastructure spending. A lot of these schools are struggling just to, you know, how many schools closed because of a water main break or electricity or any of the other problems that they're having with their infrastructure. I think that would just be way too expensive. Marty, I appreciate your call. Really good points. Listen, teachers, everyone is hammering teachers constantly. The unions, the teachers. This is a tremendous, the teaching profession as it stands now is one of the most thankless and underappreciated jobs, professions that are out there. What's being asked of teachers today is way more than has ever been asked of teachers in the past. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to respond and stand up. That's not going to mean they're not going to bellyache. But I think now more than ever is a time when a nurse and a teacher, you can complain. You can complain and we're going to listen because you are doing a tremendous amount and it's appreciated. 644-9875 if you are in education, daycare, or teacher. 803-0930 if you're a parent, student, or in between. We'll take your calls right after.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This quick break. And that is the proper number. We're just saying that number is for students and parents and the teachers. You get 644-9875. I'm talking about going back to school, the different considerations that are going on now with COVID. Depending on what your school district says, how many in-class sessions that changes. Daycare, we've heard from daycare people really Friday and today on the morning show. Really fascinating takes. By the way, Marty called in earlier, and I misunderstood Marty's call, and I apologize to Marty. He called back. Marty was just saying that he wanted to open up the air to get circulation in the rooms by the windows, not some hyperbolic pressure system in each classroom. So I apologize for misunderstanding Marty, and thank you for being patient with us. So we corrected the record. Joe in Forestville. Joe, you're on the parent line. What do you have to say?
Well, you know, I've analyzed our school systems here for several years, and my conclusion is that these teachers live on a pedestal and get paid quite well, and when they retire, they move to Florida because they have great pensions, but now they have to do something that's a little shaky. I need to thank you for your service in the United States Marine Corps. I think you did a great job. And but I think these teachers are just, you know what, get on with it. Wear your mask. These kids, let them learn. And if you look at these school systems here in the Forestville, Silver Creek area, you're going to see some, I would say, the cash cow taxes are out of this world for these schools because they have such great pensions and jobs, you know, payment for their jobs. I think it's just let them just go out and earn their living and suck it up. You sucked it up when you were in the Marine Corps, so.
Well, I was Army, but I hear what you're saying, Joe, and I hear your point of view. I appreciate your call. Here's the thing. I understand Joe's coming from the point of view that, you know, these people get paid a lot of money, and there are a lot of jobs out there that are difficult to do, and there are a lot of jobs out there that you get paid to do, you know, work that you do. Let's say you're a welder, and you're an underwater welder. That's what you do. Well, underwater welding is one thing, and then, of course, when you have like a giant oil well that's broken up and you have to weld underwater while all that oil's going all over, that's part of your job. And it might not be something you do every day, but it's part of your job, right? But everyone is literally talking about, you know, it's real-time shaming if you're not wearing a mask. And schools have liability issues. You know, what happens when parents start saying that schools didn't do all that they should have done? And what really can we expect a school to do? You know, the argument that Joe makes, and I think we've heard from a couple of callers, is, well, that's what you get paid to do. Figure it out. Well, that's, you know, easier said than done. And it's not as if the state has given these school districts a tremendous amount of time to know what their authority, when their authority kicks in and when they could start making decisions. But for the most part, if you were thinking back in March or April or May, this could potentially bleed into the next school year, did you have a plan of action at that time? Most of these superintendents did, and most of these principals have. And then it comes to funding, and where does that money come from? And again, when everything is shut down, and you're starting to think, okay, well, I've got a school year to prepare for. I've got sports to prepare for. And now I've got to do all of this extra overtime cleaning and whatnot. That is, you know, yeah, it's part of the job that you signed up to do, but it's very difficult to do. So we can still tell people, you know, I understand, suck it up, buttercup. I get that mentality. I'm just saying that, you know, this is the time when I just want to hear from them. And I want to hear all the different things that they have to do and how the parents feel about it. Most people, you know, are saying, we understand that there's a threat out there. We understand there's a virus out there. But, you know, we're going to have to do what we have to do. We can't afford to stay home any longer. Seems to be the answer. Eva in Buffalo, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm fair, thank you. Yeah, I'm a retired from education. I was in education from 1977 till about when I had to take a disability retirement in 2003. I'm glad to see that the schools are opening. However, as the governor said, it's still up to the parent of whether or not if you let your child go in school and get in-person learning or if they do the online learning. So it's still the last resort still ends with the parent as to whether or not you do what is best for your child. Now, my concern is having to wear a mask, like when we started wearing the mask full time,
right.
I'm noticing some things with myself that have become a little, such as talking or sounding words or even experiencing some brain freezes. And I was talking to my sister, who's a nurse, and she told me, she said, you should be in the mask. You should be in the mask less than more. And so that's why you only wear it when you're out. And it's not good when if you're around and transporting people because you're in the mask constantly, that you will start to notice these type of things. That's why she said when she's off from work and she goes in home care, she wears the mask when she goes in to do the in home care. When she gets to the car, she pulls it down or pulls it off so that she can exchange oxygen for oxygen. And
right.
She's worried about if the kids, and she mentioned it too, if the kids are going to be in school, they have to wear those masks on a consistent basis as they are going to do, then, you know, that could be something that you must consider. Is the effects of wearing that mask so long, how will it affect their learning power?
Yeah, we heard this just with the preschool kids, and now you're talking about older kids, of course, school-age kids.
Right. Now, this is what I think about the older kids. High schoolers, and I suggested it, I think juniors and seniors should be given the option of whether or not they want to do the online or to be in the building. Because what I'm looking at the model, and you might think it's funny, but I looked at the school, at the thing at To Serve With Love. Remember when he came into the classroom and threw the books out? Because he said, in a few weeks, you're going to be adults. This stuff is not
Right.
He said, you got to start learning adult life. I think we need to start if high schoolers are headed for adult life, give them things that are adult. Give them some kind of responsibility of thinking like adults.
You know, there's a lot of truth to this is a challenging time for the entire country. Every generation is being challenged by this, whether you're an older American, a younger American. Everyone needs to, you know, donate rubber because we're at war, and that's what people did at a time of war. Everyone had, you know, skin in the game. Do you believe, though, that there is a cross-section of Albany elected officials that really want just distant learning in general, that that's the future? It's going to save us money. We can have less teachers and less schools. And this is an opportunity to maybe usher that beginning?
I believe so, because, you know, I've been telling people we have now gotten to that future that we've been talking to all this time. We were in it. We went in it overnight. However, we did survive it, and we do see where it did work for some, and it didn't work for others. Now, the some is those that have those children that have the work ethics and know what is responsible of them. And then you have those that have disabilities, which is going to be hard. I worked with children with cerebral palsy and different things like that. It's going to be hard to keep a mask on them. Plus, another thing you also have to realize, many of them require on-hand care. Now, if you're a parent and you have to do certain things for your child,
right,
do it when they're in school.
Right.
Is on-hand physical care.
You're doing much more than teaching. You're actually providing care for that individual.
Right. You're doing a lot more. I worked in that field for 12 years, and I've seen it. So it's really a lot to be considered.
I think that people that cheapen this as just an issue of people, you know, not wanting to go back to work and somehow wanting to, sit the rest of the fall at home, they're really cheapening a lot of complicated issues here. And you've just scratched the surface on a few of them. Thank you so much for that call, and thank you for what you've done with your life. It sounds like you have a wonderful heart. You know, that really is a problem, though, because it's not a matter of whether you believe that this thing has been exaggerated, that people are, you know, the masks and all that other nonsense. You know, right now you have a fear amongst teachers and unions that this is the first step to not hiring, you know, to losing 20% of your teachers. Because if Andrew Cuomo has made absolutely no, he's not trying to hide this. This has been as transparent as possible. The future of education will be more and more distance learning. The future of college education is going to be more and more distance learning. You put people online, you teach them the basics, and the teacher is there to guide you along the way. Well, you can imagine how insecure teachers feel about that. And now that there's a pandemic, now that COVID is here, this is just one step closer. So there are a lot of emotions and different points of view, but also agendas that are being pushed because of what's happening right now in our schools. Going back to school, I mean, the Georgia thing, that poor district. I have no idea what I was even, was it file footage? Was it taken from last week? And how are you going to punish a school that's doing their best to make sure that everything's clean, everything's sterile? Sterile, everything's cleaner. You've got hundreds of thousands of kids walking around touching everything. So it's not easy, right? And we understand that. 644-9875 for education, 803-0930 for parents. Debbie in Buffalo, what do you have to say?
Hi, Debbie. Hi.
Well, hi, David. Let's role play here. No, Debbie, what do you think?
I was listening very early, and I had heard Kathy Hochul on there. And she said, well, you know, once the vaccines come out and all the kids are vaccinated, did I mishear that? It was on your program. I listened faithfully.
Kathy Hochul said what now?
I heard Kathy Hochul this morning on your radio station talking about the school and going. And she said, well, once the vaccine comes out and all the kids are vaccinated.
Right. Well, that is something that everyone is relying on. And again, you know, I've just heard a couple briefings that were talking about the progress of a vaccination. It would be a 3-stage vaccination, what that looks like to inoculate a population. I mean, look, more and more people we're learning through polling numbers that more and more people, even if the vaccination is 100% effective, they don't want to touch it. There are people out there that just don't trust vaccinations and they don't want it. So now we're going to get back to the argument, Debbie, of should you be in school if you're not vaccinated? And we'll have that debate for another 6 months. But, you know,
something that we should look towards now, because in the end, who is New York City or who is going to be backing this? Have there been any deals for
Everyone and their mother is, there are budgets that are in the federal government that have absolutely nothing to do with Health and Human Services that are putting money towards this vaccination process. It's all hands on deck from the DOD all the way down to housing and urban development. Everyone is involved in finding an American vaccine that's effective and safe. And even with all of those things, people still aren't going to touch it.
Okay, well, who in New York State was Cuomo offered by any big tech company to keep the in-learning school at home and computers would be supplied, or is that just a fallacy?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's tons of conspiracies out there. This administration, Andrew Cuomo, one of the reasons why you heard a lot about broadband, you know, there is evidence and data that shows you that neighborhoods that are connected on the internet, the small businesses are more successful, the entrepreneurs are more successful, and more people go out and try to achieve degrees of higher learning if they have access to the internet. That's without any debate. The argument has always been we could save money in education if we went to a hybrid of in-class and test preparedness and then going into, some third site education software where your homework could be done online or something can be done online. And eventually people see this as the future being no human interaction with anyone and everything is done online. And that's what people are fearing. I don't think we're anywhere close to being, you know, that's not going to be a reality. But the COVID thing reminds us that there are things that we could do in the future to eliminate, you know, in-person education. And there are factions in Washington and Albany that are constantly lobbying to get more and more companies to basically educate our kids without teachers being there.
Okay, well, my main concern is that I don't want to have a vaccine crammed down our medical professionals, because there are some medical professionals that don't believe in the vaccine because it's too new.
Well, there's not a vaccine to not believe in at this point. So I hear what you're saying. There are people that are anti-vaccination. I totally understand that. And that's, you know, we could do 45 shows on that. I understand that's a real passion. And I also understand that's a growing number on our polls that we're seeing is that people, regardless of the effectiveness of a vaccination, they just don't want anything to do with it. I hear you. But
well,
there is way too much dependence.
I was also told, David, can you please clarify who makes the ultimate decision whether a vaccine will be mandated, like polio? I think everybody had to get that. Right, correct.
Right, right. That's going to come from the CDC, and then the president would, mandating, forcing. It's a little different than it was in 1941.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit different because.
I think what you're going to find is that people aren't going to have access to things if they're not vaccinated. I don't think you'll allow a child to go to public school if they don't have the COVID vaccination. Just like you wouldn't be allowed to go to kindergarten unless you have the vaccinations to go to kindergarten.
Okay, but do we really know enough that if
we don't? We don't even know what we don't know because we don't have a vaccination. Do you know what I'm saying?
There's a couple vaccines out there. One of them has the RNA in it that changes.
Right. So there's a couple things the British are working on, which makes it so that you get COVID, but you don't get the symptoms, but you could still transfer the live virus to people, but you don't have any of the symptoms of it. There's another one that you get it, but the version of COVID you give to someone else is a version that doesn't replicate. And you can't then, so if I give you COVID, you can't give it to anyone else. There's a version of that that's out there in Europe. But the American version that we're promised is going to come is going to be a true vaccination in three stages. And we haven't seen evidence of it, but we're all being promised that. Debbie, thank you for your phone call. Appreciate you. We're going to continue 803-0930, parents and students on that line, 644-9875 for teachers, talking about COVID in school. Going back, what are you worried about? What are you concerned about? And what are you going to do with your kids if your children that are school age are going to have to only go 3 days a week? What do you do then?
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.